feel like I'm in the Highlander.
What's the Highlander?
It's a movie.
Any good?
Very good.
It won the Academy Award.
Oh, for what?
For best movie ever made. Here we are, born to be kings. We're the princes of the universe.
Here we belong. Fighting to survive in a war with the darkest power.
Since the dawn of time, we have podcasted among you, unseen. This is Lethal Heat Force Impact, and we are immortal.
Hello, and welcome back from a long, long time. It is, again, Lethal Heat Force Impact.
Brought to you on a whim.
Yes. Back by popular demand, people miss the LHFI. And so we decided to do a show. And we decided to do one of the most awesome movies, winner of the Academy Award for Best Movie Ever, Highlander.
Yep. So, Andy's here for the first time.
Hey, I'm here.
And Andy had actually never seen this movie.
I had a confession to make. My eyes aren't really green. And I've never seen Highlander before.
Yeah, it's weird.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I've heard about it, like, you know, because it's such entrenched in pop culture.
I'm sure you heard a nerd scream there can be only one once or twice.
And I've heard of the Kurgan, like, references. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? What's a Kurgan? And now I know.
Yeah, a Kurgan is an evil Russian dude.
Who later becomes the manager of a fast food restaurant at the bottom of the sea.
That's right.
Yes.
Did you want fries with that?
So, Mike, in case there's anyone else out there in the podosphere that has not heard of Highlander or doesn't know what it's about, why don't you run
okay.
It's just me.
Highlander.
There can be only be one, and it's me.
Never before has a movie so touched people. Never before has mythology so been reamed after it came out. But Highlander tells the story of Connor MacLeod, played by Christopher Lambert, who is a... it sort of goes back and forth between the modern day, in which this sort of final battle is taking place, and the Scottish Highlands in, what, the 14, 1500s? Which is where he came from, because apparently he is a member of this group of people called the Immortals. They cannot die. The only way they can die is being beheaded. And all of these Immortals are experiencing something called the Gathering, in which they are all drawn to each other to fight and kill one another until only one is left, and the last one standing will receive the prize.
That's right. They
never really specify what the prize is. But they all won it. And it is mainly a battle between Connor MacLeod, who is now going by the name John Nash in modern day, and this barbarian played by Clancy Brown, known only as the Kurgan. And
nicely done.
Yes. And it culminates in a big... nasty battle between Clancy Brown and Christopher Lambert, which is kind of funny to watch sometimes. Because it's two guys with really weird voices fighting.
It is.
I mean, you have Clancy Brown, who is like the guy who haunts your nightmares. There can be only one.
Honestly, I was kind of rooting for the Kurgan.
You were?
He had more personality.
He would. And
you didn't like John Nash?
John Nash was kind of creepy and almost rape-like.
Almost rape.
No, I'm sorry. He was Russell Nash.
Yeah, he was.
He was like the act of rape.
Yeah, he was pedophilia. Like,
what's the matter, Garfield? You cruising for a piece of ass?
He was a homophobe too. And he was just kind of bland.
Yeah, he was just sort of a dick.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. Like, you know, he's getting, you know, he's got a secret to keep.
Yeah, and he's just, you know, he's got a lot on his mind.
He's seen a lot of things. And he's just got little patience. But the Kurgan, you know, he's lived a longer life. He still has a zest for life.
And they explain the tribe he came from, which was a Russian tribe, because, of course, this was 1985 or 1986.
The Russians were our enemies.
So the villain had to be Russian.
Right.
They apparently amused themselves by throwing their kids in pits with starving dogs to see them fight for food.
That's Michael Vick.
Michael Vick as the Kurgan. Yeah.
Well, I did hear that they're remaking the original film, and so maybe Michael Vick can play the Kurgan. Mm-hmm. It would be a good time.
He needs a job.
He does. He does. He needs work. Yeah. But I love this movie. I love, love, love it. It's probably the only thing Christopher Lambert's done that
Come
I enjoy.
On, Raiden. A Frenchman cast as a Japanese god.
Well, in this one, perfect it's a Frenchman casting. Cast as a Scottish Highlander.
Well, at least they're both white.
Oh, well, at least.
Yeah, nicely put. Am I the only one who noticed the striking similarity between Christopher Lambert and
Thomas Jane?
Thomas Jane, yeah.
He does.
I mean, it's uncanny.
Yeah, physical resemblance.
I've watched it a couple times in the past few weeks, and I never really made the connection until you brought it up, but yeah.
You've watched Highlander more than once in the past 2 weeks?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, I got an urge to watch Highlander, so I picked it up.
It's and time for The Gathering, isn't it?
It is.
Is that why we're recording today?
Yeah, yes. We had an uncontrollable
Shit.
Urge.
We'll have to do battle with other podcasters until we're the only podcast left.
I need
left.
To get my metal neck brace first.
Yes.
You do.
My metal turtleneck.
But no, I just watched the DVD because, you know, it was before we had talked about this. I just wanted to see it again. And then, like, 4 days later, I happened to have TBS on in the background while I was having breakfast. And what should they be showing but Highlander?
The original? Or
yeah,
the
original.
Multiple series?
No, if it were the series, I'd be okay. Any other movie, yeah. I tend to avoid.
When you think about it, television programmers and people who choose, you know, what programs to air must have seen this film and said, God, that has a lot of potential for a TV series, because the concept of all of these individual immortal heroes and villains fighting one another makes for an easy plug-and-play serialization.
And you know, that did sort of happen, but here's the problem with all the different directions they went in, and I was really confused as to why they did this when the solution was so simple. And that was, like, all the other movies had to assume the first one didn't happen, or the first one didn't happen in the way you think it did.
Yeah, they
because
were
they
bad about...
They establish this mythology, and then he beats the Kurgan. He wins the prize at the end.
Right. So it's all tied up in a neat bow. He's going to live and grow old.
Yeah, and he's got, you
know...
And
he's the last immortal, right?
Yeah, so, he's supposed to be the last immortal. Well, they did the second one where suddenly they were space aliens.
Yeah.
Do you also find it a little strange that, like, they go through these thousands of years of fighting one another with swords and violently decapitating one another for the ultimate end game to be, now you can help diplomats... communicate with one another. Anybody else think that was at all?
I don't
well,
know.
Well, reading the description of the movie on Wikipedia, apparently Christopher Lambert uses powers to save the environment.
Yeah, he does. In the second one, he has become mortal and he uses his mind reading powers to.
Because they're living like in the world of Blade Runner.
Yeah, they are.
Well, this is 1985 New York City.
I mean, they just keep fucking with the storyline further and further and further in each movie because they want to continue on from the point of Nash or McLeod fighting the Kurgan. I mean, even good stuff like Highlander the series is generally considered to be pretty good. I loved it.
Yeah.
But it still establishes that when he fought the Kurgan, that wasn't the prize. That was just the beginning of the gathering. That was just when that kicked it all off. That was the opening
sound. Just ignore the last 2 minutes of...
They ignore the things where they said there can be only one.
Yeah, ignore all the stuff at the end when he said, I know everything.
Yeah, and he
guessed
the prize.
So, I remember Doug, our old friend Doug and I, we were hooked on Highlander the series. Like, we religiously got together and watched it. And we had this conversation when it first started. We said, this has to take place before the first movie, right?
Yeah.
And that,
but yeah. if you watch the movie that they made, Highlander Endgame, that tied them together,
yeah.
No. it happens right afterwards. And as a matter of fact, Connor McLeod willingly lets Duncan McLeod kill him.
Right. And then Duncan McLeod, right, he's another member of the same Scottish clan.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just much younger.
Yeah.
Apparently the McLeod clan's really well known for pumping out immortals.
Yeah.
It's all those phenomenally ugly wives they have.
That's a good part of this, yeah, this movie. It's like, it was very gritty, and they didn't cast pretty people like they would,
yeah,
now.
No.
He's in league with Lucifer.
Yeah. his first wife, before he goes off to battle and first meets the Kurgan and dies, quote-unquote, is just, wow, just... Pickens must have been slim in the McLeod clan, because she's not a pretty lady.
Well, this was before the time of conditioners and,
yeah,
hair straighteners.
Yeah, I mean, she looked authentic for the time.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of her unattractiveness came from the fact that her hair was horrible, yeah, and her face was dirty.
But like, he upgraded to his second wife.
He did
a lot better.
He did upgrade, and I'm glad he did, because his first wife was a bitch. Yeah. He comes back from the dead. You think if there's anyone who's going to be happy about the fact that he's come back from the dead, it's going to be his wife, and she's the first one to go, he's in league with Lucifer, and they're all like, let's just exile him. No, burn him.
Then burn the ashes. Then I'll shit on the ashes and burn him again.
God. Make sure to not come back from the dead when your wife is having that time of the month.
So he gets a new wife, right? He upgrades, and during some coitus, a big horse penis gets dragged across both of them. A horse ridden by none other than Ramirez, the Egyptian / Spaniard played by Scott.
Yes. And yeah. If ever there was a time that Sean Connery was going to burst out riding a horse, I would hope it would be... Yeah. When I was having sex. So, greetings, pendejo.
The fact that he called Connor McLeod a pendejo. Yeah,
a little bit of self-tanner does not make you Egyptian / Spanish. Just a little minor quibble.
Self-tanner, more like orange paint. Yeah.
But he can't be anybody but Sean Connery at this point, can he?
No, he can't.
I mean, even back then.
Even back then, he couldn't.
Like, I don't think that was a very convincing... Spanish Egyptian accent.
This was my sword made by the legendary Masamune. It's a katana. I got it because I'm Japanese.
Made in 500 BC, apparently.
Yeah, made 2,000 years before they actually made katanas.
I did. I had posited to the guys here that the movie was controlling my actions and words, because when they mentioned the sword, I hadn't seen this movie in a very long time. I'm like, wait a minute, did they just say 2-something BC or 5-something BC?
Like, they said it was like 580 BC.
And I looked at Mike. Sword. Yeah, I was like, a long time ago I was a history major, and if I remember correctly, there were no samurais floating around, and there were no steel samurai swords. And then later in the movie, of course, the metallurgist says, this shouldn't have appeared during this time period. I'm like, whoa.
She said it was like finding a 747 1,000 years before the Wright brothers' first flight.
Right. And I was like, wow, I must have been in my subconscious. So right about then, I'm like, God, I need a popsicle. So I got up, and when I got a popsicle, and in the middle of eating my popsicle, the Kurgan shows up eating a popsicle.
Yeah, it was really weird, because halfway through it, Freddy kept trying to decapitate Andy. Yeah,
I did.
That's another reason I like the Kurgan.
Yeah.
He eats a popsicle.
He does, and he enjoyed it.
It's just so...
I like that guy.
And he sleeps with horrors.
It's just so innocent. Like, you see the character. He's this, like, brooding punk guy that's, like, thousands upon thousands years old, but he still finds the time to enjoy a popsicle, even though he's trying to get the prize.
And he's fun.
He is.
He's a fun guy.
Because that scene where he kidnaps Brenda...
Yeah.
And he stole the car.
Yeah, and he's running chicken with everyone going,
And he has the old lady in the car. She's on the roof.
Mom.
Yeah. And he's just a fun guy. Like, he'd be fun to hang out with.
He has great lines in this. Like, the scene when he first comes into the hotel and he's working on his sword work, and that prostitute comes in. She's like, my name is Candy. Of course you are.
And the scene in the church with the, he's just shouting out these obscenities.
Turns out almost everything he said in the church was ad-libbed.
Oh, cool.
He just made that shit up.
So that was in his mind.
Yeah. The tongue flicking at the nuns.
But that brings up another aspect of the mythology of a Highlander, reading on Wikipedia. Like, I was thinking, like, why didn't he just kill him at church?
Because it's holy ground.
It's holy ground. You can't find a holy ground. I didn't know that till Wikipedia showed me.
Oh, they mentioned it in the movie.
Did they?
He goes, it's tradition. Although, you know, nowadays, they would take that little bit of tradition. They'd be like, well, the Kurgan's too bad to abide by any traditions. If this movie were made now, he would have fought him in church. And they'd be like, but you broke the tradition.
Again, that actually happened. There was a part in the series in which a guy killed people on holy ground, and the fans got really, really mad.
Yeah. There you go.
Because you don't break that. Mm-hmm. You don't break the rules of the game. If you break the rules of the game, you don't get the prize, Freddy.
Good point.
Would it be awesome if the prize just turned out to be like a $2 off coupon at Denny's? Yeah.
It's like a...
or the ability to help... help diplomats communicate with one another. Yeah.
The ability to understand languages.
Yeah. Could be. I'm bilingual now.
Am I the only one that prefers this type of action movie to, like, the, you know, traditional, like, Die Hard type things or Lethal Weapons?
You like your action with a little fantasy?
Yeah, fantasy, like this and Crawl.
Oh, Crawl.
And, like, Conan movies.
Yeah.
Like, this is like swords. I like swords. Maybe it's because I'm Asian. I don't know.
No, yeah, it was a fun movie. Well, this in particular, I think, is this movie. Well, it's directed by Russell Mulcahy, who directed a lot of music videos and stuff.
Yeah,
and I think he did music videos for Queen. Isn't that how they ended up doing the soundtrack?
I think so. Yeah,
but
and it was actually one of the things that drew critics to this movie is the fact that he used a lot of music video techniques, like the quick cuts and the editing,
which you see everywhere now.
Oh yeah,
but in '86 when this movie came out, people weren't accustomed to this style of filmmaking.
No, they thought it was really new and interesting.
Yeah, and it was. I mean, it was pretty cool. The opening sequence alone, you know, where they're running through the parking garage and they're busting open steam pipes and running across the hoods of cars. And yeah. When all the
one guy does a backflip across the entire length of the parking garage.
And I was like, just walk, dude. That's
yeah. Just wasting energy. Why walk when you can backflip, man? I'm immortal. I backflip everywhere.
So if you had the ability to backflip everywhere, you would.
That's what the prize is.
Is that to protect the head, do you think?
I think that's just to look cool.
I think it's just cool.
It's just badass. Now, I mean, since this movie, Russell Mulcahy has done not a lot of high-profile stuff other than he did the third Resident Evil movie.
Yeah.
Which, if you want to consider that high-profile.
Not really.
But that's pretty much it. I mean, he's made other movies that were straight to video, but he's still... Oh, apparently he worked on some episodes of Queer as Folk, too, so that's relatively high profile. But, it seemed like he kind of came out with a bang with this film and, you know, and then kind of just fizzled out.
Well, you know, this film didn't really do well in the States.
No, it didn't.
It didn't do well until it got to European release and DVD release. That's when it sort of got the cult hit status, and that's the way it happens with a lot of movies like this. I mean, it doesn't do well in the theater, and then it hits DVD or video, and suddenly everybody loves it.
You know, I remember a story that Ken told me, Ken, David's dad. Mm-hmm. He said he saw this before it was in wide release. It was at a theater, and he got in, sat down. They had let on nothing whatsoever about what the movie was about, and he thought it was going to be about wrestling. Because of the opening sequence with the wrestling match.
And then, the 80s.
Yeah, he said he didn't realize what was going on until, you know, when they got to the parking lot and all of a sudden there's people fighting with swords. And he said, like, he almost had left, I think, was what he had told me.
He's like, what the fuck is this movie?
But before the sword fight. And then he was like, okay, I'm sticking around to see what happens. You know, and when you showed me the original promo poster, I'm like, okay, that makes more sense now how someone could go into this movie not knowing.
It's just a picture of Christopher Lambert.
Yeah.
Lambert.
Yeah, and what does it say on it? Do you remember?
It says, like, he was born in the Scottish Highlands of 1473, and now he's in for the fight of his life in New York or something like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so it's kind of, it really didn't let on. So it almost like, as much as I remember when I first saw either, like, The Matrix or From Dusk Till Dawn, I couldn't imagine having gone in to see Highlander and being taken off guard like that, you know, be in a contemporary setting and have this immortal character.
That's what I think is one of the most awesome parts of Highlander. It's one of the reasons why I like The Matrix, too, is because it's just this encapsulated mythology. like, all by itself. There's no reference to anything else. This doesn't feel like anything else. I mean, you know, I like a good vampire story, but I know that you can sort of cheat with a vampire story because everyone knows how vampires act.
Right.
But to make up something completely whole cloth, this idea of immortals who fight each other and they can only kill each other by removing their head and they exist throughout time and there's this big prize if you're the last one standing, and it seems kind of interesting.
Yeah.
It pulls you in.
It's a great mythology that they developed. It's simple. It's streamlined, but it's global. You know, like, it has this concept that there's these people all over the globe you know, activated.
Almost like a secret, almost like a secret society.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Although, same before, I really don't understand why, when they went to make sequels, that they didn't go backwards.
Yeah, to me, I think a part of it is the fatalism of it. Like, you don't want to know that you're rooting for a character that's going to die.
Well, what, kind of like with the prequels to Star Wars, you already know how everything's going to turn out?
Right. And I think maybe they were tempted to say, you know, we shot ourselves in the foot by tying this up at the end of installment one. We didn't realize that there was going to be sequel potential at the time. You know, I think that's really what did it.
But I mean, you know, even when you're talking about Connor McLeod, I mean, they do detail his past, but not a lot of it. I mean, 90% of what they detail about his life is the lifespan of his second wife, which is when he meets Ramirez, which is when he learns about his nature, and which is when the Kurgan first fights him, if you don't count the very first time they meet. But all that is in her life, which can be more than, what, 40, 50 years? And that's still, like, the 1400s. I mean, they've got 400 years worth of story to give him. They do like one or two scenes where he's talking to Castlegear and where he has that duel.
Right, yeah.
And there's so much more of his life you could have done, but instead they did their space aliens. Now Mario Van Peebles will do his best impression of the Kurgan.
Right, oh yeah, I agree. They blew it on the sequels. I really thought... I mean, I went to see this the part two in the theater, and I remember being underwhelmed and a little upset at the end. And I was a kid.
The second one pissed me off.
That was the one in space, right?
No, yeah. This is one that's in the very near future.
The second one, it's in the near future, but they explain that the immortals are aliens from this planet called Zeist.
Well, that sounds stupid.
It's really stupid. Also, Ramirez comes back because they want him back bad enough.
So if you wish it enough, it comes,
yes,
you come
if
back.
You wish upon a star.
Okay.
Ramirez will come back to call you Pendejo
once again.
Well,
that just blows the mythology, kind of waters it down. Cause
it blew it clear out of the
space
water.
Space aliens is, you know, it's just...
Yeah, to the point where they made a Renegade edition, almost like the Phantom edit that they did with Star Wars Episode 1, where they totally edited out any reference to Zeist, where it just became they were immortals from somewhere again. And the only thing I will give Highlander Part 2 is it had Michael Ironside in it, and I am always down for a film to have Michael Ironside in it.
Oh, boy.
I don't know, but like, watching the Highlander and seeing him go throughout time, I almost got like a Forrest Gumpian feel, almost, like him going through time and getting these situations.
Ramirez like always said life was like a box of chocolates.
I was expecting him to like be at the... like trying to assassinate Hitler or something. Or like there when Napoleon was trying to take over the world.
Yeah.
I just got that feel a little
bit. In this series, they give you a little bit of that sort of stuff. I mean, like, they have the other character, the other McLeod.
Duncan McLeod.
Yeah. They have him at different major historical events and stuff. And they spice things up by giving some of the immortals different kinds of weapons, like axes and other blades.
Yeah, well, you know... By the end of it, there was like 100 immortals in that show. Not everybody can have a katana.
Yeah, after a while, you're just kind of like, well... Speaking of the sword fighting, by the way, didn't they... I don't know if this is true or not, but I had always heard they connected car batteries to their swords.
They did for the last fight, with all the sparking that happened off their weapons.
Yeah, like that's how they generated the sparks.
There was car batteries that had wires running up, touching the sword, so every time their swords would touch, it would arc. So, yeah, they were using electrified swords.
Every time you guys say sword fight, I'm thinking, you know.
Yeah.
That would have made a very different movie.
They attached car batteries to their swords, and then they touched and made sparks come out.
Oh. So yeah, it was a fun movie.
Just in case in Longlander.
But there was a homoerotic scene where he swept Sean Connery off his feet.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He like sort of held his sword to him for a second. It was a really tender moment. Like at any point they were going to just start making out.
Yeah, there was a few
running
times
on the beach and jumping
running
off a cliff.
Yeah. There was a lot of homoeroticism between Ramirez and
I want you inside me, Highlander.
I think I can fit only one. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. And how about Brenda Wyatt, Ms. Roxanne Hart? Did she remind anybody else of Mary Murphy from So You Think You Can Dance?
Like a little bit.
At the Molly Train!
Yeah, especially when she started screaming.
It's a sword!
she had nice boobs, though.
She did.
Once they were unsheathed from her booby hatch.
She had nice boobies.
Yeah.
She was sort of the middle ground between his first wife and his second. Because the second wife was
much hotter.
Much hotter. Mm-hmm. And then you had Miss Wyatt, who was... I wouldn't kick her out of bed for eating crackers, but she was definitely subordinate. And then you had the lunch lady.
Lunch lady? Is that his first wife?
Lucifer!
That's how you say leave with Lucifer.
That's her excuse for everything.
Burn him!
This soup is cold. It's Lucifer!
It's in league with Lucifer.
So, that's Highlander. That is Highlander. I don't know. I mean, I don't have a whole lot more to say about it.
I'm kind of tempted to try to watch the series now just because it's mythology.
It is so worth it.
So amazing.
The series is quite good. It is quite good.
They can get like a big box. Actually, there are so many merchandising. You would be shocked at the Highlander merchandising that's out there.
Yeah.
Including the McLeod sword that I know I've seen.
Oh, yeah. You can always buy the McLeod sword, both the katana and his claymore from when he was a Scotsman. But there's the video. There's actually six Highlander movies.
Yeah.
You know, the first three that everybody knows, there's Endgame, which was supposed to tie the first movie to the series. There was Highlander The Source, which was a sci-fi original movie designed to sort of cap off the series. Which, I warn you, is supposed to be the worst movie out of the entire series.
And the movies are bad.
Yeah.
Except for the first one, the movies are pretty damn bad.
We're not talking a slow, gradual downhill that you normally get with sequels.
They immediately turned to shit in part two.
Yeah. It was like awesome movie to raping the corpse of the awesome movie from the word go.
That was Lambert in the second one, too?
Oh, he was in the third one, too.
Yeah.
And he was in Endgame.
Yeah. And he turns up on the TV show, I think, at some point, doesn't he?
That's Endgame.
Oh, was that just the only appearance he made with both characters?
I think he might have made an appearance in the pilot episode, too.
Yeah, something, yeah.
But, in Endgame, he gives up his life.
Yeah.
So
who wouldn't at that point?
That was lame. It was like, Adrian Paul, you are much better looking than me, and I have to go do Mortal Kombat, too. Cut off my head.
And there's this actor, Thomas Jane, coming up.
This Thomas Jane.
He's taking my roles.
Don't let him shave for 3 days and put him in a trench coat. You can't tell us apart.
The best thing, though, has to be of all Highlander mythology that I've seen is the Kurgan. Hands down still. I mean, that's why it's great. Yeah. It's what makes the first movie. He's awesome. He's huge. His sword is so big he can't just carry it around like
he has it in
McLeod.
Pieces like a sniper rifle.
Right. He has to put it together because it's so big. And he's just a badass. So, it should have been called the Kurglander.
The Kurglander.
Because I think he was the best part.
And I love that, I wasn't really familiar with Clancy Brown's other works. I mean, Clancy Brown is the Kurgan to me.
Yeah.
So, then I started looking up all the other stuff he does. And yeah, he's like Mark Hamill. He's in like every cartoon and video game that you could ever think of, including, Mr. Eugene H. Krabbe.
Yeah.
The proprietor of Krabby Patties on SpongeBob SquarePants, which puts a whole new spin on that television show.
Not to mention he appeared on Lost, the TV series Lost, as one of the people who ran the first hatch.
Yeah.
And also he was in, and I loved him in Pet Sematary too. I think that movie's underrated, but but he was great in that. Very comical, yet threatening.
Did he play a cop?
He does.
Okay.
He played a Russian barbarian from the year 400.
He was an abusive stepfather and a cop. He was a big character.
Yeah, he was also the prison guard in Shawshank.
That's right. He was.
And he's also the voice of Killer Croc in the upcoming Batman Arkham Asylum video game.
So there you go. Lots more from Clancy Brown. Anybody else have anything else to say about Highlander before we we end our Highlander episode.
Good stuff. I'm glad I watched it.
Yeah, I'm glad you watched it too.
Go watch it again. It's just as good this time around.
That's right. And we were waiting for our buddy Aaron Kroll to be here before we, that's Aaron from Whorehound Magazine, to do Conan, our Conan episode. This was, the next episode was supposed to be Conan, but we were like, let's watch some Highlander. Yeah. And so we can just do one of these on the fly.
Yeah, we thought about doing just, you know, two Conan episodes, but there can be only one.
Hey, you
now, have there been Highlander comics?
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool. There's an entire comic series.
And a cartoon, I think.
Wasn't and it? An cartoon. Animated series, yes. Wow.
Yeah. So there you go.
And an anime.
And a whole people in Scotland.
Yes, and a whole people in Scotland.
Mm-hmm. So rock out with your cocks out. Go watch Highlander.
Woo.
It's not a bad movie. In fact, it's quite a good movie.
I appreciate you guys having me, giving me an honorary penis today.
Sweet.
You're welcome. I'm glad you enjoy your
Thank you for giving us some honorary waffles this morning.
Yeah, I got my penis when I saw Highlander. I was like, finally! Yeah. I'm a boy now.
It's a real boy. So, yeah. Also, breakfast was awesome. We all had some chow before this.
Yeah, Mike ate a whole thing of bacon.
I did.
I planned for that, though. I bought
a whole
extra
slab.
Bacon. So, until next time when we probably do Conan.
All right.
This is Lethal Heat.
Look for us in another year.
Yeah.
Bye. As your body.